You're listening to TalkTainmentRadio.com.
The views and opinions expressed are those of the host and guest and not necessarily those of TalkTainmentRadio.com, the management, the staff, or KNE World Network, LLC.
Henshaw and welcome. We're glad you're here for a conversation with Dawn Karima. Energetic, exciting, entertaining, and informative.
My name is Dr. Dawn Karima. So thankful for you who have joined us today. So thankful for our sponsors. Thank you, Adam H., Board of Franklin County. And thank you for our guest today. Oh, my goodness. We love our elders. We treasure our elders. Every day is Elder Appreciation Day. We love our elders. And today we have a guest who will help us honor our elders. Would you please introduce yourself to us?
Yes, Dawn, how are you today?
I'm blessed. I hope you are too.
Yes, I try to be every single day.
Amen.
My name is Lisa Stockdale. I guess you could say I'm a bit of a senior expert, although I don't know. I don't know if I like the word expert, but I certainly have been working in the senior arena for about 12 years. And I used to have a show on Talktainment called Senior Agenda, which I miss.
Mm-hmm.
And I miss seeing everybody there at Talktainment, but I'm really appreciative of the opportunity to speak to you and your listening audience today.
Thank you so much for joining us today. It's really wonderful to have you here. You do tremendous work on behalf of our seniors as an advocate, as a friend, as a great help. I hope somebody has thanked you for doing that work, but just in case they haven't, thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, well, you're welcome. My pleasure.
How did you come to devote your career to helping our elders?
Well, it's an interesting story. I really never had any intention of doing this.
Mm-hmm.
But I sold real estate for many years here in Columbus, Ohio. And we, you know, had a recession in 07, 09.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the need to reinvent myself, if you will, for a second career. And long story short, I landed in senior care, and I remember vividly, I was working at a home health care agency, went in as a consultant to try and help them be profitable. They had clients, but they weren't turning a profit,
mm-hmm.
and my job was to go in and help them understand that. And before long, I was running the show.
Wow.
And I remember we had a patient, her name was Mary, and I had a phone relationship with her. I spoke to her on the phone almost daily, and I remember the first time I ever actually went and met her in person and realized for the first time in my life that in this culture, this Western American culture, we do not value or take care of our elders or seniors or old people the way we should. And I was painfully aware of other forms of oppression like racism and sexism and classism, but I had never given any thought to ageism.
Mm-hmm.
And me being who I am, when the visit was over, I kept my composure during the visit, but then I went to my car and cried.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, really got, I guess I was humbled, and it was an awakening, and I was like, you know, this will not do. This will
mm-hmm.
not do.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to be a part of the solution for at least helping the people who I have an opportunity to come into contact with in my life
yeah.
understand that better way. And that we should be all about protecting and honoring and uplifting and advocating for old people, because old people matter. Mm-hmm. How about that?
Mm-hmm. Yes. In our indigenous cultures, elders are cherished, honored, treasured. Yeah. And Buffalo Child Longlands once said, "We respected our old people above others in the tribe, and we aspired to be like them. We never allowed our old people to want for anything." And all across yeah. Native America, that is a heart attitude. You know, elders mm-hmm. first, people, because there weren't libraries, there wasn't Google, right? So if you wanted to know anything about anything, you had to depend on elders who knew it first.
Yeah.
So what happened? What do you think happened in mainstream dominant culture that elders went from being treasured sources of knowledge and wisdom to all kinds of abuse and neglect?
Well, what I think happened, and this is the world according to Lisa, so uh-huh, but you did yeah. ask for me. I think it was the introduction of the nuclear family.
Mm-hmm.
And so this idea that, you know, a family should be a husband and a wife, male and female, with 2.5 children and a dog and a cat and a fish, you know, and anything that was not in that formula was not taken care of or looked after or included.
Mm-hmm.
I could be wrong about that, but that's where I think we went wrong. And then I think it is aggravated or worsened in today's society, where there's so much of a reliance on technology mm-hmm. and our elders mm-hmm. don't necessarily understand that some of them aren't interested. Some of it's not that they're stupid. It's not that they couldn't do it.
Right.
Some of them don't want to do it. And so that puts up different walls for us to break down. And that's for all of us as a society across the board. I think yes. that we don't know how to be together anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add the pandemic on top of it, and you can just see where I'm going with this.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, in some ways, it's an issue of connectivity, of us understanding that we need each other, and mm-hmm. there is no shame in that.
Mm-hmm.
And we've just strayed from those principles and from those values, and we need to get back to them.
I really appreciate that insight, and I agree. I mean, I see, you know, my home is the Quala Boundary Reservation in Cherokee, North Carolina, and most of our families are in compounds and in intergenerational families, multi-generational families. People mm-hmm. live across the hall or from each other, or they live in the same home, and, you know, maybe grandparents live with the grandchildren, and all of this, to me, is a tremendous blessing. It's an asset,
mm-hmm.
you know? Everyone helps everyone else and tries to do the best they can together, to work things out together. And so I'm really interested in what you're saying, the idea of the individual, you know, me and mine and solitary and
yeah.
just us over yeah. here and us four no more. Okay, so those of us who are hearing you and thinking, what can we do to help the seniors around us?
Well, I think the first thing, and I'm going to sound like Captain Obvious when I say this, but I think if we'll think about it, they'll understand where I'm going.
Mm-hmm.
Understand that elders are people.
Mm-hmm.
They're complex. They're not one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
You don't know everything you need to know about them based on their age. Age isn't just a number. I'm not that naive. But age isn't everything. It's one facet of our identity. And so I think what I hear, I know I upset someone recently when I was interviewing them for a position, and she actually worked in a cafeteria with children. And she said, well, I said, so you would be going from children to seniors to elders. And she said, yeah, there's a lot of similarity, right? And I said, no, not at all.
Wow.
There's not a lot of similarity.
Mm-hmm.
You're going from people who are being formed and molded and experiencing life for the first time. And, you know, every day, almost everything they encounter is a learning experience to
right.
a place of experience.
Mm-hmm.
And someone who can actually teach us and guide us and also understand us and empathize with us. So
mm-hmm.
it's not the same. I think the first thing that we can all do is don't diminish people. Don't stereotype them based on how old you think they are. And by the way, you might not know.
That's right. That's
You might think you know, but you might not know. So I think that's the first thing. Treat everyone like a valuable human being who's unique, and different and special and has something to offer, instead of putting them in categories based on all these different ways we have of identifying people, age being one of them. That's a big one, though. It sounds like, I said, it sounds like I'm being Captain Obvious. But if people really were truthful about their own interactions and their own mindset and their own thought processes, I think that you would find that what they do is they dismiss people after a certain age. Mm-hmm. They no longer think they're relevant. And the way they treat people in the public and the private sphere probably would prove my point.
Mm-hmm. Everything you're saying is so necessary, because one of the problems we have is we look at people through the wrong lens, I think. You know, for example, I loved at the Oscars recently the way that Lady Gaga was so kind and loving with Liza Minnelli, and she was just so wonderful with her. She didn't patronize her or condescend to her. She just allowed her to use the gifts and talents in the capacity she has at this point in her life, and she let her shine. And so,
well,
go ahead.
Another good point, Don. Forgive me for interrupting you. You finish your thought, and then let's come back to change, because I want to talk about change.
Well, let's talk about change, yeah, because that's all I'm seeing is that we've got to somehow do better by our elders, and if change can help us do that, please share with us.
Yeah, and actually, when I say change, what I'm talking about, so I threw this first idea out that, you know, don't diminish people. The reason stereotyping is hurtful is because you're diminishing people to a single understanding, which may or may not be connected to reality or truth. But the second thing is, let's go ahead and get our heads around the fact that life is about change.
Yeah.
Aging is just a component of that. And so do things change as we age? Yes, but you don't have to assign a negative value to that. You don't have to judge
that
as something lesser than it used to be, or it's different. It's different. And so we do, as, you know, aging people, is we compensate for things, but we keep moving forward. Hopefully we keep learning. Hopefully we don't buy in to ageism and sit on the sidelines and feel like our time is done. Hopefully we reject that. We keep participating. But change is natural. We've been changing since day one, and we will change until the last breath. And that's okay. That's part of living. So that's what I want people to understand about. Do things change when you age? Yes, absolutely. We're not going to pretend. We're not living in, you know, Candyland or something over here. We understand the truths and the realities. But what we also know is we can deal with all that. And life has always been about change. It's nothing new. It's just a continuation, different phase.
Thank you so much for saying that, because there's so much to unpack there and to learn from you from that. I'm thinking about a time that I was at a tribal ceremony, and one of the elders, who was 100 years old at that time and knew all the ceremonial prayers and knew everything about the dance and all of that, he had a little bit of trouble getting up from his wheelchair. And he said, well, I traded a strong body for a stronger spirit.
I love that, yes.
And as a young person at that time, I'm thinking, but now I get it. You know, yes, maybe the hair color changes, or maybe the health status changes, or, you know, maybe their vision changes or something like that. But there's some great changes that come with aging too, aren't there?
Well, absolutely. One of the things that I read about, I haven't started experiencing it yet, but I'm looking forward to it, is it, in retirement years, when you aren't doing the grind of building your career and all that sort of thing, there's a certain kind of freedom that comes with that. And when you actually look at happiness, we find that people are most happy after retirement, and even more happy at that time than they were during adolescence, which is a period that we celebrate. So there's freedom, there's happiness, there's knowledge, there's experience, there's confidence. And how about settling down and not going wiggity-boo every time things don't go your way? Right. That comes with age, right? Mm-hmm. There are lots of wonderful things to be celebrated and admired and aspired to, even, that come with aging. It is not all doom and gloom. I know there's a column that somebody writes, aging isn't for sissies. Yeah. Well, living isn't for sissies either.
Right, that's right.
You know? And it's, I think sometimes we buy in to these prominent ideas and we don't even realize it. Like, in our heart, we're not trying to do harm, but we're not being mindful enough to understand that we might be doing harm by repeating phrases and you know, engaging in conversations that go in a negative direction when it comes to seniors, and we're afraid to raise our hand and say, you know what, actually I disagree, or actually I reject that, or actually I can't accept that, however you want to put it.
Right.
That's another thing. We have to speak up. Nothing's going to get better if we just sit quietly and say, this is the way it's always been. First of all, you're wrong. This isn't the way it's always been. But maybe it's the way you've always known it. But we can always do better if we're willing to be brave and speak up and get on the front lines and roll our sleeves up and advocate for people, which we should be.
Always. And, you know, my grandmother used to say, if you want to talk bad about old people, just keep living.
Yeah.
You know, because your turn is coming. Right. You know, it's just, and also, I think in tribal cultures, indigenous cultures, I think in worldwide, indigenous cultures worldwide, we realized that it was a privilege to get old. I mean, there were bears and there were diseases and there were cold winters and there was a lot of things that could happen to you between 0 and 100. And we realized that if somebody had lived long enough to get old, really old, that, boy, wow, we should listen to what they know. We should listen to the knowledge that they have. And I'm so thankful that you're here to help us really, truly appreciate our elders and to change maybe some of our own thinking about them. Because I see that in sort of a consumerist society, that a lot of times we say, we compliment elders for being just like young people, right? Like, he looks great for 60, you know, something like that. Or we try to make them into cute and funny characters or mascots. Right? Oh, everybody loves this particular elderly lady or whatever. And then our whole attitude toward old is changing, too. You know, the original Golden Girls show, that group of women were in their 50s, which now is just halfway through. 50 is not old. is halfway through, right?
Yeah, it's all relative, isn't it? It's all relative. I was mentoring a new salesperson recently, and I was talking about my first mentor. His name was Bob Schmidt, and at the time I was working for United Dairy Farmers. I was a manager. I think I turned 20 there. That's how young I was.
Wow.
And Bob must have been in his mid 40s. I thought he was, you know, older than
ancient.
Yeah. But now that I'm a little older than Bob, I have a new perspective, and we are living longer.
Yeah.
So there's that as well. We're you know, they say the new 40 or the new 50 is 40 and the new 60 is 50 and blah blah blah.
Yeah.
But then you think about this concept of anti-aging.
Oh, wow.
You know, I mean, what is all of that about? And again, it's just promoting this idea that aging is bad. We want to avoid it. But how do you avoid it without checking out?
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to do it. You're going to age. And even people will want to. So These days I do a podcast because I couldn't make it into the studio every Thursday morning at 10. Mm-hmm. But boy, I do miss Talktainment. And of course I love Brother Ed.
Yes,
I love Brother Ed. I told Mommy on my way into work, I hope I get to talk to Brother Ed. And she said, if you do, tell him we love him.
So, he's
smiling. We do love him. Mm-hmm. Anti-aging. So here's a real life story. Last week, or maybe 2 weeks ago, I was on vacation. And it was supposed to be a one kind of vacation. It turned into something different because my friend's aunt died.
So I ended up having
some alone time, which was good for me.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the days I was in St. Pete, and so I was there for about 5 days. And one day I said, I'm going to actually do something tonight. And I drove to the casino in Tampa.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going into the casino, and, you know, it's the casino there is, it's the Hard Rock Casino, and it's mm-hmm. Kind of upscale compared to what we have here in Columbus. And so this young man was like, come here, ma'am, I want to show you something. Sure enough, he was a salesman, and I was kind. I'm like, I got nothing but time to kill. Let me see what this is about. And he wanted to show me this product that he actually put on my face for under my eye. And then he showed me like the one eye compared to the other one. He's like, what do you think? And I'm like, well, honestly, I don't see a difference. And he's like, oh, my goodness, you don't see a difference. And then he's, like, telling me all of my flaws. And he's like, you know what, we can do something with those lines on your forehead, too.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I'm being kind, you know. I mean, I'm not aggravated with the kid. I get it. I understand where he's coming from. So I let him go through his whole spiel. And then he said, you know, oh, and it was $399 product.
He's,
and it's like a 12-ounce. I'm like, oh, my Lord, no, I'm not paying that. So then he comes back. He's like, I got a deal for you, ma'am. It's down to $199. And I'm thinking, yeah, right. I'm
goodness.
I'm in sales. I think I know what's going on here. So I said, just let me ask you one question. What is it about my eyes that you don't like?
Mm-hmm.
And he was dumbfounded. He's a kind young man. He didn't want to offend me.
Right.
And I had put him in a spot where he kind of had to. And I said, you know what? I think I have beautiful eyes.
You do.
And his eyes got great big. And he's like, well, you do, ma'am. And I said, yeah, I kind of do. And I'm okay with the lines because they mean something to me. And I hope that you have a very great day.
Yeah.
And I could tell. That when I say speak up, raise your hand, take action, you don't have to be mean and hateful about it. But if you don't point out to people where they're going wrong, they're going to continue to go wrong.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that's just a little example of something that happened recently. And, of course, I smiled all the way out of his shop because I knew he was standing there thinking about what I had shared with him. So
I thank
this is how
that.
We make
thank you. No, really, thank you for the courage it took to do that. Thank you for the bravery to do that. Because you've actually helped him. You've actually changed him. He's going to level up because of you.
Yeah, I think he will, actually. I mean, he immediately said to me, actually, you remind me of my mom. And I said, I hope you love her. And he said, I do very much. And I said, I take that as a compliment.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be adversarial. It doesn't need to feel that way. Although there are times, you know, it's gonna feel and sound a little different. But I don't even think of it as bravery anymore. It's just who I have become.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's important that we do get brave and that we do speak up and that
mm-hmm.
we do hold our place and that we and it's about protecting each other. Because as you say, we're all aging, and hopefully we'll all someday know what it means to enjoy being an elder. The older you get, the more likely you are to have lost someone that you love.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that you wish those people could have stayed and become elders with us, but
mm-hmm.
that wasn't in the plan. but it makes the point that it is an honor and a privilege.
It absolutely is. It absolutely is. It's a glorious blessing. In fact, in the Bible, it says that the gray hair is a crown of it's a crown of glory if it's found in the way of wisdom, you know? And yet somehow we've changed it to, oh, no, you need to get a bunch of products and pay a bunch of money and do a bunch of stuff to constantly try to be, you know, forever 21. And that's not necessarily the best spiritual path. I love your transparency, and I'm so thankful for it. And that story just, that really resonates with me because I was used to being very glamorous. You know, and a lot of people work very hard to make me glamorous all the time for the red carpet, for award shows, for all of this. And that was a part of my job description. Right.
I remember that, Dawn Karima. And then you became a mother.
Right. And then, but here's the thing. The thing about motherhood, to me, this is better. Like, this is so much better, right? Like, I'm having a wonderful life. I love my life. It's wonderful. And I had a reporter ask me, oh, congratulations, you know, you've had a child. Thank you. Okay, that's great. Are you looking forward to getting your model figure back? You're looking forward to getting your body back?
Oh, heavens, no.
And I was shocked by that, and I kind of didn't know what to say. And there was another matriarch, an older matriarch, who's in her 70s, and she says she has a body, and it's a wonderful body because it was able to carry and give life. She doesn't need her body back. She has a body right now. And it's a beautiful, wonderful body.
Yeah, can't you see it?
Right, yeah. And I thought about this for a while because in my culture, when we join the matriarchy, we get new clothing, jewelry, people celebrate us. You want to look like somebody's mother. This is part of the honor. You get better seating at ceremony. There are songs about our mothers, you know. Young people bring us plates. You know, we have joined the matriarchy. We get to make decisions. And so the old body that I had, it was a great body. I loved it. It was great. There are pictures if you need them. You know? But this new one is so marvelous to me because it's for this phase of my life. And so I think about what you said, and I wish I'd had the presence of mind to say that to that reporter because I like it. I like it. This is my souvenir. I suffered for many years. Doctors told us we would never have any children. And then here's a miracle. Miracle baby. I'm going to wear this body like a trophy. I'm going to really, you know, I might get some of the graham cracker stains off my shirt, though. But
animal crackers in your back seat, I remember. Oh, yeah.
Oh, my goodness. Please don't, you know, Real Housewives of Native America. That's all I've got to say. So I love what you're saying because we can all do that. We can all speak up in a gentle, kind, loving way when we see elders being depreciated. So can you give us a step-by-step, though? Like, we don't want to start any Twitter fights or anything like that. We just want to know how can we use our voices to be advocates for older people?
Well, I think you have to, I can't give you a step-by-step, but I will tell you this. Maybe I should write a book or something. And then, But one thing that you have to do is you have to recognize when people are trying to fill you with noise or garbage. You have to recognize that for what it is. And then you have to be willing to speak up and do something about it. I happen to be in my office today, and I'm looking at a young salesperson that just joined us. We were talking earlier, and we were talking about, I said, you know, the problem in sales isn't that people don't know how to handle objections. They don't recognize what's being said to them as an objection. Well, that's the problem in life. It's not that people want to accept oppression or prejudice or negativity. They don't want to consume all that. They don't want to own it. They don't want to co-sign it, put their name on it. Problem is they don't recognize it when it's happening to them.
Right.
And so they're not in a position to speak up or speak out against it. So there is a mindfulness that has to happen. before you can be in a position to advocate for anyone, including yourself. Like, you're worthy of being advocated for as well.
Oh, yeah.
So that mindfulness, being able, you know, the awareness, and I guess, you know, some of that comes with being truthful with yourself. I mean, some days I look in the mirror and go, you know, I'm not 25 anymore. And I have to have a conversation with myself. Am I okay with this? And I know I am, but I can't, you know, you can't totally rise above the indoctrination, the socialization, whatever you want to call it, because you've been ingrained. But you can fight it. You can intentionally fight it and try to be aware and be mindful. And when people say or do something that's hurtful, be willing to say, you know what, that's hurtful, and I think I know why, or maybe we could figure out why together, or here's why.
Yeah.
Depends on where you are, you know, in the conversation. Mm-hmm. But I do think that we lack mindfulness, if that makes any sense.
Absolutely, and I hope you do write a book about this, or at least some great articles, because I love your take on this. And I think also, for me, I try to amplify what people do right as well. You know, I try to compliment people and bless people. When I see our elders, you know, in their church hats and they look great, I do try to praise them. I thank them for coming because they're to a situation because they're so precious. We're glad they're there. But I also praise people who are doing it right. You know, like I see people who are going out of their way to be kind and helpful and friendly to our elders without being condescending or patronizing. And I thank them, you know, I try to thank them and amplify that too, because I think we have a lot of people who have good hearts and they just don't really know what to do. I mean, and we've been through a lot. We've been through a lot in the past few years.
Well,
people don't know what to do about anything.
And it is, what you're saying is important. We have to celebrate one another. We have to celebrate our own moments when we get it right, when we see other people getting it right, or when we see, you know, people just, you know, I'm saying just being kind, because it, to me, it should be an easy given, but apparently it's not.
Nope.
But there again, it's another opportunity. When we say speak up, sometimes people think that means resist. It can mean resist. It can also mean celebrate. You know, be willing to just be honest at all times in the situation. One thing Brother Ed used to say about me, and I loved it, was he said, she's honest. She's just off the cuff, and she'll tell you how she feels about it.
And that's one of the things I love about you, too, your authenticity and your transparency, that you're willing to, wherever you are in the moment, you're willing to let us in with you, and I'm appreciative of that.
And also the willingness to be fluid and recognize that what you think, I might learn better tomorrow. I might learn to be better and do better tomorrow.
Yeah.
I hope I do.
Yeah.
And so maybe the person that you meet in 5 years is way smarter and has more wisdom and knows when to speak and when not to speak and when to watch and when to participate and when to excuse yourself and all those things. Because we should always be learning, that's something that I mentor the people that I get the opportunity to mentor in the professional world, always be learning. But in life as well, we should be lifelong learners, and we should be open-minded enough to accept the fact that there might be a better way, there might be a deeper wisdom, there might be more insight. Gosh, I would never want to arrive, you know, because then what's next? So we're works in progress, all of us.
All of us. And I'm so glad that we get to learn even more from you when we come back from commercial. So we'll be right back with more of this amazing talk and visit on A Conversation with Dawn Karima.
and to come and save her. Better believe they get on their knees, they pray hard, they pray hard, and never look back once the war forgave you.
The hardest thing to do at times is to make changes in your routine. Don't let that hold you back.
Wait a minute! They told us we had it all, Jordan! Well, yeah, I guess in a way we are running out of oil.
I'm Rhett. I'm Tia. And I'm Heather. And we are Three Voices.
You want this drum over here? It's clear. You got Gilbert over here. You got LeBron over here. And guess what? We talking about
it. I'm trying to get over the dog whistle politics thing because I can't hear it and dogs supposed to hear it. So who hears the dog whistle?
Your opportunity is now to get up-to-the-minute information, great entertainment, and stimulating talk programs on your computer. Yes, I said your computer. Just log on to TalkTainmentRadio.com. Click Listen Live to hear a program. The blogs and podcasts are up and running. TalkTainmentRadio.com can also be heard on your cell phone.
Yes, I said cell phone.
TalkTainment Radio. We go where you go.
The COVID-19 vaccines can be our chance to get back to our plans, who we are, what we miss, to get back to each other, to life. But it's okay to have questions, like, how were the vaccines tested? In rigorous clinical trials among adults of diverse backgrounds. Can the vaccines give you COVID-19? You cannot get COVID-19 from a vaccine. Why should I get vaccinated? Protecting yourself also helps protect the people around you. Find the latest information at getvaccineanswers.org.
Here's an idea. You've heard of the notion of pay it forward. It comes from the 2000 movie, Pay It Forward. Basically, the premise is helping someone with no expectations of payback, providing assistance to someone, passing information on, simply doing a good deed for a total stranger, and instead of allowing them to pay it back, ask them to pay it forward. Doing favors for other people and asking them to do the same. The principle is the same as multi-level marketing, except that instead of soap or vitamins, it's generosity between strangers that is being passed on. Pay It Forward is mentoring, it's volunteering in your community, it's shoveling a neighbor's snow, or cutting an elderly person's grass for them, or taking a senior to the store. Don't wait for someone else to do something good. Do it yourself. It starts with you. Talktainment Radio strongly embraces the notion of pay it forward. In fact, we just did.
We can give you a new heart.
We can help you walk again.
We can perform brain surgery.
We can treat a sore throat.
We can bring life into the world.
We can work so many miracles, but the one thing we cannot do is read your mind.
When you communicate with your doctor,
when you ask us more questions,
you reduce your risk of suffering a medical mistake.
Tens of thousands of lives are lost every year due to medical mistakes.
The healthcare community is working on it, but you can help.
Please, open up. Ask more questions.
What are the side effects?
When should I expect my test results?
Will this medication interact with my other prescriptions?
We can't answer if you don't ask.
Help reduce your risk.
Questions are the answer.
Learn the 10 questions you must ask. Visit www.ahrq.gov. This message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, the Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, and the Ad Council.
Hi, everyone. Al Roker here. As a guy with his own catchphrase, I appreciate that after 75 years, Smokey's only said,
"Only you can prevent wildfires."
But I'm filling in because there's a lot more to report. Like when it's dry or windy. Be careful burning yard waste, because wildfires can even start in your neck of the woods. Go to SmokeyBear.com to learn more about wildfire prevention. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service, your state forester, and the Ad Council.
I can't believe he found them.
He seems sorry.
We very clearly told him not to look up there.
I'm honestly impressed that he was able to do it.
Right? What did he balance on that big chair?
Or? Yeah, I mean, I guess he'll just know what his gifts are this year.
I really thought we had hidden them well.
If they can find their presents, they can find a gun.
911, what is your emergency?
Every day, 8 kids and teens are unintentionally killed or injured by loaded and unlocked guns. Learn how to make your home safer at endfamilyfire.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and End Family Fire.
Hey, I'm Haley Kiyoko, and I know what it's like to struggle with mental health issues. If you have a friend that's going through a tough time, now is the perfect moment to reach out. Learn how to start the conversation at seizetheawkward.org.
Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention, and the Jed Foundation.
Hey, it's me, your cell phone. We need to talk about something. Something serious. I know you love me. I know you like using me wherever you are. But I feel like this isn't working out when you're driving. I know you may think that it's possible to focus both on me and the road, but I just don't feel the same way. I think we should spend time away from each other when you're driving. It's for the best.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Extinction is forever. To save America's most iconic and imperiled species from extinction, we must fight for their future. Fight to save the natural lands that wildlife call home. Fight to limit pollution. Fight for smart development. Fight for their future. And fight for ours. For so goes nature, so goes us.
Michael Vick's guilty plea didn't solve the problem of dogfighting in America. I'm Wayne Pacelli, president of the Humane Society of the United States. Help us stop this cruelty by putting dogfighting out of business. To find out how, visit us at humanesociety.org.
Unlike other health concerns, mental illness is not always easy to see.
D-E-P-R.
Mental illness doesn't show up on a scale.
Bipolar?
Sorting out a mental health concern takes professional diagnosis and treatment.
Anxiety. I thought so.
If you or a loved one has a mental health concern, don't go it alone. For 24-hour free and confidential information and treatment referral, call 1-800-662-HELP. Learn more at samhsa.gov/support.
When you take your car in for an oil change, a good mechanic will also take care of other routine maintenance to make sure your car runs safely and efficiently. Protecting your health isn't much different. When you get a COVID-19 vaccine, it's important to make sure you're also protected from other serious but preventable diseases. It's easy and convenient to get other routine vaccines at the same time as a COVID-19 vaccine. So make sure you ask a healthcare professional about other vaccines you may need to maintain your health.
Oh, I love this conversation. I love our elders and I love our guest today. Would you please reintroduce yourself to us?
Sure, Don. My name is Lisa Stockdale and I'm a senior advocate. I actually live here in the Central Ohio area. And once upon a time, not too terribly long ago, I had a program on Talktainment called Senior Agenda. I do work in the healthcare industry that addresses and takes care of a lot of seniors. So that's another component of all of this. But the biggest thing is I have a heart for old people.
That's wonderful. That is wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us today. So how can people connect? How can folks connect with you? How can they hear your podcast or they can connect with you? Maybe someone would like you to speak to their group or just anything that they can benefit from your knowledge further.
Sure. Well, the easiest way would be the podcast. The podcast is called Aging in Full Bloom, and it's available anywhere you can get a podcast. Apple's probably the most popular platform.
Okay.
And you could go there. You can email me at agingandfullbloom@gmail.com. Or you could, I better not get my phone number out. That might be a bad idea.
Yeah, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
Yeah,
we'll email you.
Email me. And also on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook if you want to start there instead of the actual podcast. And we get a lot of messages there, and then we do get a lot of emails from the podcast address, aginginfullbloom@gmail.com.
Oh, that's perfect. Okay. And how did you come up with that terrific title?
That was a labor of love, let me tell you.
Mm-hmm.
That was a whiteboard with ideas, and I was talking to everybody that I knew and respected, and I wanted to somehow embody this idea that, you know, aging is a part of our natural experience, and that it's positive, and that it can be progressive, and that it should be admired, and so that's how I came up with it. And I do like it. Thank you for commenting on that.
Yeah, I do like it too. And what can we expect from an episode of your podcast?
Oh, girl, you just never know. We are all over the board. I actually sort of pivoted off of what I got started at Talktainment. That's where the foundation was laid for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to say, you know, we talk all things seniors. Nothing's too boring and nothing's too intriguing or embarrassing. Or there are no topics that are taboo for us. So it can be anything. And we have done a lot of talk about healthcare
mm-hmm.
issues. One of my favorite interviews was with a doctor who wrote a book called Stay Off My Operating Table. And he's talking about heart health. Sometimes I'm interviewing seniors themselves. And that's always fun and interesting because they have all kinds of ideas and insights and truths to share. And sometimes it's just me talking about who knows, whatever I have been moved or inspired to talk about based on what's happening. We have spent a great deal of time talking about COVID and how we should be dealing with that. One of the podcasts that is not been published yet but is coming up is talks about menopause and what that means and how your body changes and what to expect and so forth and so on. So we're all over the place, from social issues to politics to healthcare to just telling each other stories and listening to those stories. We used to have a segment on Senior Agenda where we said, slow down, listen, and learn.
Mm-hmm.
And so sometimes I want us to do that. So it could be any number of topics. We've also, I think about hospice. We've done a lot on hospice and grief and that sort of thing. So there's probably something there for everybody.
I love it. I really love it. And, you know, I think it's so great that you're willing to give us this window of insight. And so as we think about your podcast, you need to write a book. I hope you will. What's next?
You know, I literally am just taking it day by day. I don't know what's next. I guess I'll know when God decides to share it with me. I'm a big planner, but the thing is, there's a reason God doesn't let me be God, okay? I would mess everything up in like 30 seconds. So I try to follow the leading of the Spirit, if you know what I mean, and I think you do.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm not sure what's next, but whatever it is, I will be there, present, mindful, doing my best to accomplish whatever is put in front of me, no matter what's next. I'm sure it's going to have something to do with seniors and aging and elderhood and helping people understand that seniors are experts in their own personhood. They know who they are. I said to somebody recently, she was offering me some unsolicited advice, and I said, you know, I'm pretty good at being me. I feel like seniors probably should say that to people a lot too. Like, you don't have to tell me how to be me, because I kind of know that one.
Yeah,
I got that one down pat.
Definitely.
But it's all that, you know. And so I appreciate where God has placed me. I appreciate the arena that I'm in and the lives that I get to touch. But you know, I'm not the only one out there advocating for for seniors. There are lots and lots and lots of us. And together we make a community that will bring change.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, you included, Don. You included.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that. You know, I would love it. I would be so honored if you would just take a few minutes and speak directly to the elders who listen to us. We have an international audience all over the world, and I would love it if you would just honor our elders by speaking directly to them for a few minutes. Would you do that, please?
I will. I will. And just let me say, you know, I'm humbled that you would ask me to do that. I guess what I would just want to say is don't ever let anybody tell you that you're less than you used to be. Mm-hmm. Don't ever let anybody treat you like you're invisible because you're not. Don't ever underestimate or devalue yourself based on societal norms and beliefs and values. Stand in your truth because we need you to. We are lost in a lot of ways. And the only way to get back to balance and truth and foundation is if our seniors and our elders speak up and speak out and share their understandings. I value you, and I know so many other people do as well. And when you encounter people who don't, well, tell them how wrong they are. They should value you. And I appreciate the gift of experience. I'm not naive enough to think that just because you've gotten older, you're wiser, because it doesn't work like that for everyone. But it does work that like that for a lot of people. And even if you aren't wiser, your experience means something. It means a lot. And so I think there is something to be learned from the years that God has blessed you with. And I hope that I can encourage people to get quiet and listen. And I hope that I myself walk in what I'm asking everyone else to walk in, and that I'm always honoring and esteeming and recognizing your place in our lives, because it's imperative, it's important. And as I said, we need you now more than ever. We need some wisdom and some guidance. And we need people to remind us that this too shall pass and we'll still be standing. But there has to be integrity, and faith is important, and all of these things that, you know, our elders remind us of. The ones in my life, without thinking twice. And if you're lucky enough to have people in your life, that's the other thing. I do recognize that some of you have outlived most of the people that you loved. And so it's important to find a way to stay socially connected, even if it means you have to do some things that you don't feel like doing, or you have to step outside of your comfort zone. We have to work together. It keeps us human, and there's no reason. You don't have to accept being lonely or feeling isolated. And if you feel abandoned, for God's sake, please email me, because I can connect you with volunteers and people who want to love you, and who want to hear your story and who want to honor you. So I guess I'll just say we love you, and so do a lot of other people, and I want you to remember that.
That was beyond beautiful. That was beautiful. Thank you so much. And as we close, I want to give you another few minutes to speak directly to the rest of us and tell us what's on your heart for all of us as we interact with our elders.
Well, you know, I can't help but to think about what's happening in Ukraine right now and in the world. Mm-hmm. And I see those pictures, and I see our elders out there protesting, and I see our elders in harm's way. And I see them helping. Like, they're not being a burden in this. Mm-hmm. They've got their sleeves rolled up, and they're actively participating. And what I'll say is, let that be a lesson to us, that our life here isn't over until there's no more breath, until we actually step over into the next realm. And as long as we're present, as long as we're here, We can matter. We can make a difference. We always matter, but we can make a difference. We can be actively involved. We can be a part of the solution. We can raise our voices or our fists if that's what it takes. But when I see the pictures on the news, you know, that's the thing that I am not astonished by, but taken by. That's the thing that where my heart is drawn to. Look at the difference that these people are making. And they don't really have any choice. I guess they could just decide to quit, right? But that's not what they're doing.
Right.
But talk about leading by example. They are. And I think that the rest of us just need to recognize, as I said at the start of the program, that seniors are complex people with varied backgrounds and, you know, different demographics and different social facts. And you don't know everything you need to know about them based on age. And if you would slow down and listen, there's a lot to learn.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where it's at.
You are wonderful, and I really appreciate you taking the time to share your wisdom and your enthusiasm with us today.
Well, you're most welcome. Be sure you tell Brother Ed we love him and we miss him.
Oh, I know. And, you know, I want you to tell us one more time how we can listen to Aging in Full Bloom, please.
Sure. So the podcast is called Aging in Full Bloom, and any platform where you get a podcast, it's readily available. Speakra, Apple, they just moved us to, I don't know, a couple dozen more. You can just Google it, Aging in Full Bloom, and it'll pop up. If for some reason something else pops up, put Aging in Full Bloom with Lisa Stockdale, and I know you'll get there, or even just with Lisa. And you can email me, and you might want to be a guest on the program. If you do, we get requests for that weekly. So if you have an interesting hot topic that you think would benefit our listeners, then we're always open to that. But more than like growing our listenership, we just hope that we make a difference. And based on the emails that we get, we know that we are touching some people, and that's the whole point. Is to make a positive difference and impact people in a meaningful way and not just be noise in people's ears.
Well, you've certainly made a difference here today, a beyond beautiful difference in our lives here at the show and also our friends who will be listening and all of the lives that will be touched because of what you are willing to share with us today. Thank you so much for joining us. I hope all of us will treasure our elders in a new way, in a fresh perspective, just because you were willing to come here and to share with us today.
Dawn, my friend, thank you for the opportunity. You keep up your good work as well. Enjoy that little one, and I'm sure we'll chat soon.
We love you, and we appreciate you. Thank you so much for joining us today. And thank you to our sponsors, to our friends that listen. And I'm so grateful for this network, for Brother Ed and all of his wonderful work. And we are so thankful that folks take the time to listen to this show. I know you could be doing anything, just anything, but instead you use your time to share with us. And I'm so thankful and so grateful for our guest today and all of you who listen and all of you who make this show possible and anybody who's ever done anything kind for us ever. We are grateful. I'm Dr. Dawn Karima, and I can't wait until we're all together again. See you next time on A Conversation with Dawn Karima.
Can you come and save her? Better believe it, get on and knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the world forgave you. She's silent, she's
and your gum and saver. Better believe it, get on your knees and pray hard. Then pray hard and never look back once the war forgave.